joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, live from Seattle, is our Green and Gold insider, Michael Cohen. Michael, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing all right. How's the weather out in Seattle, first of all, for game time, game weather conditions out there?
I don't really know. I literally just woke up since it's 7 a.m. out here, so I have not looked outside. I believe it's about 50 degrees based on what I saw on my phone.
Okay, man. Yeah, we woke you up. That's right, 2 hours difference. We woke you up early. Okay, the Packers, this is a game I was telling Joe earlier. The Packers win this game. Not only does that put them, I think, back in the conversation for the playoffs, not that a loss would ruin things, but I think this is would be a big momentum boost. I mean, you win last week, and then you get this win in Seattle, your first win. This victory tonight would go a long ways for these guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was reading a column by Bob McGinn yesterday, and he said that the six times that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers have played each other, it's been three wins at home for Aaron Rodgers and three wins at home for Russell Wilson. So neither guy has won in the opposing team's stadium. And I think that given the history of what the Packers have gone through here in Seattle, and, you know, I don't have to recap that for everybody to know exactly what I'm talking about. If they were to win tonight and sort of exercise those demons a little bit, I think it would be huge and a tremendous boost for the locker room, because even though this season has nothing to do with past seasons and tough losses here, I do think that anytime you can accomplish something that you haven't done before or haven't done recently, it's a major shot in the arm for the team. So if they come into a place that has haunted them in the past and get a win on a short week, you know, with all the injuries that they're facing, and they have a tremendous, potentially tremendous uphill battle tonight with injuries. But if they were to pull it off, I completely agree that not only does it shove them right back into the playoff discussion, but it's also the type of victory that could catalyze a team and really change the dynamic of the next 4 or 5 weeks for this Packers bunch.
Talking with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider here from The Athletic, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Of course, Aaron Rodgers had said the other day that wants to be able to silence that 12-man crowd right out of the gate, and that would start by establishing the run with Aaron Jones. We know the Seahawks don't have a great run defense by any means, so you'd like to see a nice heavy dose of Aaron Jones. The question is, though, Michael, can we see more than 15 carries from him? Could it be pushed up to 20? Is there any hope for that?
That's a really tricky question for a lot of different reasons. I know that the conventional wisdom from people, you know, on the outside and watching this team is that why can't we give Jones, you know, 25 carries? Why can't we give him 30 carries sometimes? And so I went back and I looked last season, and even when he was rolling at his best, I think the most touches he had in a game combined rushing attempts and, you know, passes caught was around 24 to 25 touches. And remember, he had two pretty significant injuries last year. He tore the MCL in both knees. And after the season, his running backs coach, Ben Sermon, said that Jones really has to get stronger in his lower body. And I know he's listed at 208 pounds, but there was a nugget in one of Pete Doherty's stories earlier this week that said Jones told him he's really about 198 pounds. So if you talk about being 198 pounds, comparing that to other running backs like, you know, the Gurleys of the world, the Adrian Petersons of the world that are 215 plus, I mean, that's a sizable difference in terms of, you know, the amount of contact you're absorbing at the running back position. So, you know, theoretically, I think, you know, fans would love to see Aaron Jones get 25 carries a game. I just think that the Packers are probably a little bit concerned about his health, given the fact that he got banged up twice last year. He's really, really light for the running back position. And he's just not that powerful in the lower body, as Ben Sermon said last season. It was something that Jones really had to work on in the offseason, was strengthening his lower body. So I do think the reason we've seen fewer touches for Jones than people would like is because of the injury concern, not necessarily because they don't think he could succeed with that many touches. It's, do you want to risk that many touches?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big deal. I mean, he hits the hole very, very fast. It's just, can the guy be durable like those other running backs who are, you know, sometimes 20 pounds heavier? I mean, and I think that McCarthy, I think when people look at McCarthy and they question whether or not why he doesn't want to use the running attack, and I think he wants to pass the ball, but he's trying to keep his guy safe. He's trying to get as much out of he can because he's 198 pounds, like you said.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. So I think there's two arguments. One, I think it's they're trying to keep him safe. And two, it's that McCarthy definitely favors the pass. So I don't want to say an excuse because that's not what I think it is, but it's a convenient way for McCarthy to shield the fact that he definitely leans more pass heavy than run heavy. And, you know, I went back and I looked at those two seasons when Eddie Lacy was playing tremendous football for the Packers when he was rookie of the year and I believe the year after. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but this was over the summer. I went back and I looked to see how many times he was averaging, you know, 25 or more touches in a game. And it was almost never. So when he was rushing for over 1,000 yards in a season, he was only averaging like 18 or 19 touches a game combined rushing and receiving. So it's not as if the Packers have really ever been a team that gives it to the running back 25 to 30 times a game. And I think that that's something that people need to consider too, is that even when they had their best running game under McCarthy over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, they still weren't giving the ball to their tailback 25 to 30 times a game. It just doesn't happen in an offense with Aaron Rodgers. So certainly I can understand the desire from fans and from people outside wanting McCarthy to do that. But the bottom line is I just don't think it's ever been practical in McCarthy's offense. And so if Jones gets between 17 and 22 touches a game, that's pretty much peak usage from what we've seen in a Mike McCarthy offense.
Again, talking with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider here on The Fan. Let's go over to the defensive side of things for the Packers. The safety position is just, it's a mess right now with the injuries, with the guys that Brian Gutekunst has cut loose. What do you think the safety position is going to look like tonight? Do you think there's going to be a lot of rotating of guys? How do you think that's going to play out?
It's a great question, and I think it's honestly going to depend a lot on Blake Martinez, too. Blake Martinez was listed as questionable on the injury report, and it's a very difficult turnaround with a high ankle sprain to go from playing on Sunday to playing again on Thursday and having to fly and deal with what the altitude changes can do to potential swelling in any part of the body. And that's definitely a factor to consider. If Martinez is out tonight, that could change things significantly, because then you're talking about, you know, playing Antonio Morrison. I know you asked me about the safety position, but the reason the inside linebacker spot matters is because then you have to decide who you want to play next to him. They've been playing so much hybrid safety the last month, whether it was Jermaine Whitehead or Josh Jones or even Kentrell Bryce at times, that they have to decide if they can play a hybrid safety next to Antonio Morrison or if they need another traditional linebacker, and then they have to use Oren Burks. So if they decide to go with two linebackers, then I think you can play Josh Jones at safety. If they decide to go with a hybrid safety and Antonio Morrison, or a hybrid safety and Blake Martinez, then I think you see Josh Jones in that role, and then I do think you see Raven Green back there more at safety. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts on this defense, and that doesn't even mention the fact that Nick Perry is out, Kentrell Bryce is out, right, and Kevin King is out as well. So this is going to just be a very hodgepodge group on defense for Mike Patton tonight.
At the receiving core, with Randall Cobb out for tonight's game, how serious is that injury? Is he coming back anytime soon, do you think?
It's a really weird one because, you know, it's a hamstring injury that he's had for a long time, but he was able to play 1 week and then now he's out again. And so I don't know if it's a situation where they played him when maybe they shouldn't have. But it's definitely a cause for concern for the Packers, and I haven't spoken to Randall this week. I didn't get a chance to see him in the locker room, so I'm not really sure what the situation or what the status is, but it's definitely puzzling that, you know, this injury seems to be lingering enough, but healing just enough where he can play 1 week, and then all of a sudden he's out again for two more weeks. So it's definitely something to monitor for the Packers, considering Jerron Wallison probably wouldn't be back unless the Packers made the playoffs.
Again, talking with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider. I know Aaron Rodgers, you really want to see a big game out of him too tonight, because a lot of Packer fans have had doubts and kind of seen bad throws from him, and it's been hard for him to gain, you know, that chemistry that he wants in all of his wide receivers. He's going up against a Seahawks secondary tonight that is nowhere close to the Legion of Boom. So does this present really a great opportunity for Rodgers to have a good game against a young secondary in the Seahawks, Michael?
Yeah, I would think certainly if you're comparing this secondary to the ones that he faced in the past, when you had Richard Sherman, you had Earl Thomas, and you had Cam Chancellor, I don't think there's any question that this secondary is a notch below that. The defense for the Seahawks, and actually just the Seahawks in general, they started out really poorly in the first 2-3 weeks of the season, and they've really turned things around to the point where they're playing some of their best football, too. You know, the Packers went out to Los Angeles and lost a narrow game, but came back feeling like they were a better team because they had played toe-to-toe with, you know, one of the best opponents in the league. And that's really what happened to the Seahawks. They just went to Los Angeles on Sunday. They lost a game that came down to the final minutes when they had a chance to win it with about 30 seconds left, had they been able to get into the end zone. So I think they're playing some of their best football right now, too. But, you know, you look at what they have at corner and Griffin, and, you know, you look at what they have at safety and McDougald and these guys, and it's just not the same as the Legion of Boom. So, yes, I would think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at the secondary and thinking there should be more opportunities than the Seattle teams I've faced in years past.
All right, before we let you go, give us a prediction there, Mike.
You know, one of the things I've started doing this season is really looking at point spreads, and I've never really been a gambling guy, so it never really mattered to me, but one of the things I've been interested in is where does the late money go? Because there are people who are professional gamblers. That's what they do for a living. They bet huge sums of money, and they really do it right at the end. And so the way you see the lines change in the last 24 hours can tell you something. And this opened at 2 or 2.5 point favorite for Seattle. And just before you guys called me, I checked it out again this morning, and it's up to 3. So that tells me the late money is coming in on Seattle, and I wonder if it has to do with the severe injury problems for the Packers. Had everybody been healthy, I think I would have picked the Packers with the way that they're playing right now, but I just don't think they're going to have enough on defense to overcome it. So I'm going to take the Seahawks, but I do think it's going to be a very close game. I will take the Seahawks 24-21.
Yeah, I think the line moves. I do the same thing. I look at the line moves, and I see when I – either smart money at the end, or like if you know the smart guys out there in Vegas, if they see a line where they can get it at a low rate, they'll jump on it right away and maybe move the line quickly. You can see a line jump from 2 to 4 or 5, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something I really paid attention to much in the past, just because I was never really interested in gambling or anything like that growing up. But I've noticed it a lot this season, where Packers games in particular have been ripe for late money, and it seems like this could be one again with the line jumping a point and a half you know, last night.
It's going to be interesting tonight. You can follow him on Twitter,
Michael underscore Cohen 13.
Cohen 13, got it. Sorry about that, I lost it there for a second. And
no,
you can
problem.
Read you can read all of his fine work at The Athletic. Michael Cohen, we'll talk to you sometime tomorrow. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, fellas, enjoy the game. Talk to you tomorrow morning.